Simmons is an award-winning writer and one of today's foremost music journalists. Born in London, she moved to LA in the late 70s and started writing about rock music. She is the author of several biographies, including Neil Young, Reflections of a Broken Glass. Today we'll speak with her about I'm Your Man, The Life of Leonard Cohen, which she wrote drawing on extensive interviews with Cohen's friends and associates, his private archives, unpublished writings, and poetry. Welcome, Sylvie. Thanks for joining us today on The Book Report.
Well, thank you for having me.
How and when did you first become interested in Leonard Cohen?
I was a tiny little girl. In fact, it was the very day I hit puberty that a compilation album came out in UK of Columbia Records that Leonard's on, and it had a whole bunch of their artists I'd never heard of before. I was a little Beatle fan, and suddenly I heard somebody singing Sisters of Mercy in this deep, cavernous voice that somehow just picked me up and threw me against the wall. So, yeah, Leonard was one of my first, and so I've loved him pretty much as a musician all my life and got to meet him as a music journalist later along the way, and I just thought I wanted to tackle his biography.
And he was cooperative throughout in the writing of the book, right?
Yeah, I mean, I should say that it's not an authorized biography. He didn't call me up and say, Sylvie, I want you to write my book. I just approached him and told him that I planned to write a book with diligence and heart, and that I wanted to, if I could, kind of get a little behind the mystery and also bring together the various strands of his life, because it seems that, well, partly because of the way he's lived his life, that people concentrate on one thing or another. It's almost like the kind of old story of the blind man and the elephant, you know, they don't know whether it's the trunk or the tail, or, you know, they can't describe him. He's a poet, a novelist, a musician, a songwriter. All of those things in his mind are fused into the same thing. There's no separation. But he's also known as a great spiritual seeker, a Jew, a Buddhist monk, a ladies' man, a great depressive who's managed to recover from that. So many strands of him that people seem to concentrate on one more than the other. And in my kind of craziest moments, I decided I'd try and get the lot.
Well, shed some light on why chapter one is entitled Born in a Suit.
Born in a Suit. It was partly because Leonard has said, darling, I'm born in a suit. I was born in a suit. And he came from a family that was a very prominent Jewish family who had several companies, and one of them, the one that his father was president of, was a very high-end clothing company.
Well, Leonard's childhood was very comfortable, in fact, and not tortured like one might have assumed.
Well, you know, it wasn't in the sense of it being a well-to-do family and a very close family, but there was a very traumatic incident, which peculiarly Leonard's claims wasn't traumatic, which also leads people to believe that it must have been, which was when he was 9 years old, his father died. So he was brought up in a house of women as well as in a house of suits. He was brought up, you know, by his mother, Masha, with whom he had a very, very close relationship, and with a big sister, Esther.
Now, you write about the big bang of Leonard, the moment when poetry, music, sex, and spiritual longing collided in him.
Yes, he discovered Lorca's poems when he was 15 years old. He'd already been writing poetry to some degree at school, you know, or after school. He'd studied poetry in school, but he was studying the English poets, the Irish poets, and he said that he hadn't really found a voice, a poetic voice, until he read this poem of Lorca, which was quite accidental. He was just browsing through a book outside a bookshop like you do. You know, there's a stand of cheap books. It was a selected poem. And as he described it, he said when he read this poem by Lorca, the hair stood up on the back of his arms or his neck or maybe even both. And he said that he'd only had that similar experience when he heard the music of the synagogue. And so he was associating it in almost like a synesthesia kind of way with music. And what was interesting was that Lorca was also a great lover of music. He was a collector of Spanish folk music, and he kind of wrote a great deal about flamenco and in a way introduced Leonard to flamenco music and guitar and the romance of that kind of music. And Lorca used to title his poems ballads and songs, as Leonard did himself in his early poetry. So there was this kind of strange fusion. And also that same year when Leonard was 15 years old, he got his first guitar and started learning to play from the People's Songbook, the kind of socialist, unionized kind of songbook of folk songs.
Which brings us to his first muse, Marianne. Tell us more about her.
Well, you don't want Marianne to jump the queue much, as she's a lovely lady. The first muse was probably Anne.
Anne, okay.
Anne was a muse of his poetry, but you're right, the first muse for his song. He was living with her when he went to Columbia University in his postgraduate year.
Mm.
But Marianne, he lived with on the Greek island of Hedra, beautiful Norwegian model, still a lovely lady, you know, just full of warmth and generosity. One of these modest people like Leonard is, you know. It's not like, hey, I was Leonard Cohen's first and wonderful girlfriend. She is almost so grateful for having known him and very modest about her English and about her looks.
Mm.
She was married when she first met Leonard, and the marriage was breaking up. She was married to a writer, interestingly, on this Greek island that Leonard had moved to in 1960. And it was love at first sight. And so they were a couple for quite some time.
Hmm. Well, talk about Suzanne. And I was very interested to find out that Suzanne of the song was not the Suzanne who was his wife.
I tell you, he gave me such a job with this book. Like, oh, for heaven's sake, Glenda, can't you have different names? But this is interesting, actually, because Suzanne, I spoke to Suzanne, and well, both of the Suzannes, but Suzanne one, shall we say, Suzanne, who was then called Suzanne Vaillancourt, was married to a friend of Leonard's, a sculptor in Montreal, where Leonard was born and raised. And they weren't lovers. So she was amusing a different way. He, as Leonard had reported it, the song was actually a kind of like a news report. Suzanne did take him down to a place by the river, and he only did touch her perfect body with his mind. So this is, she confirmed that, you know, they hadn't been lovers and what their relationship was. And we spoke about that. It was a very interesting relationship, actually. And from there on, he went, he moved via various other friends to Suzanne Elrod, who became his partner, you know, sort of de facto wife, though they never married, and the mother of his two children. And they met in New York, interestingly, at a Scientology meeting.
Mm.
And Leonard was always a spiritual seeker, and a lot of people kind of either laugh when that's mentioned, Scientology, because, you know, it's got a strange reputation, or also are shocked. And it's like, how could somebody as deep and smart as Leonard be involved with what some people don't think is, you know, a religion that's worth pursuing? So the answer to that is that this was in 1968, when actually Scientology had a fairly good reputation amongst young people as being a way of kind of helping them through depression and trouble from their past. And 1968 in the US, I'm sure many of the listeners will know, was a very, very troubled year for young people. He moved away from Scientology completely after about a year.
And then he did go on later to become an ordained Buddhist monk.
Yeah, it was all part of his seeking. It's very, very interesting. It struck me that, I mean, even when he became a Buddhist monk, I should say that he wrote a poem early on that was published a lot later called I Am a Jew, and it was his answer to people saying, you've changed religions. And he said that Buddhism is not a religion, it doesn't have a god.
Tell us a little about the Judy Collins connection. It was so important to his career.
Leonard was a ladies' man in many ways, and he'd come to New York really en route to go to Nashville to be a country songwriter. This was his plan, just to write songs, not to sing. And a friend had suggested he stop in New York and meet with a Canadian woman called Mary Martin, who was working with Bob Dylan's management at one point, and had introduced Bob Dylan to the group that became The Band, who she knew. They were Canadians, as she was. And so this friend said, well, speak to Mary, maybe she'll help you. And Mary was friends with Judy Collins, and so she introduced the two of them, and Leonard played her several of the new songs he'd written, including Suzanne, Stranger Song. And she immediately loved him and covered two of his songs on an album before he'd had any chance to record them, before he even had a record deal. And he was forced back on the road in his 70s because of a horrible thing that happened. While he was living in the monastery, the woman he gave power of attorney over his finances and over his life, his medical power of attorney, a good friend of his who had once been his lover and was for a long time his manager, a different manager, I mean, there were various, not this first manager, it was another female manager, woman manager. She and somehow managed to completely wipe out everything he ever had. He had no money left. All of his retirement accounts were gone. They'd been purloined in some way. But once he was out there, I think he was surprised to find that he had the audience he had still there. He's a very modest man and wouldn't think that there were all these people clamoring to see him.
Mm.
He didn't think he'd be getting 100,000 people at the Glastonbury Festival, for heaven's sake, or selling out arenas over the U.S.
Your book was so enjoyable to read. It's really a wonderful look inside a very complicated man. Thank you so much for joining us today.